Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Obscure. My name is Thea, and I'm a film director, music video maker, and editor from Georgia. Let's get started. When I was around 14 or 15 years old, I attended a private school in Sololaki, one of the oldest districts of Tbilisi. I was quite a bullied child, but at that time already, my bullies left the school, and my father bought me a photo camera. I started shooting and making photographs. I really liked it, and also my classmates and schoolmates did. Suddenly, I became a sort of a star. I was accepted in a friend circle. The kind of photography I really loved was more of facades of the buildings or things, animals. You know, at that time, people really didn't like being photographed. I had a bad experience with media, probably. I didn't trust anybody who was shooting them. Well, anyhow, I was walking through all districts of Tbilisi a lot. And looking at all those old buildings, I felt like they all had their own stories. I thought that if I would touch them, I would feel all the history hidden in the stones. One of the places I really want to tell you about is this old church. Let me remember. I think it was called Subrshan. Yes, it's one of the five oldest churches in whole Tbilisi. And sources say it was built in 16th century and it was an Orthodox church. But later, in 17th century, Armenian Gregorian church took it over and they rebuilt it. Then later it became a macaroni factory, then theater used it as a storage space for decorations, and after that, somehow it became a library. I wouldn't trust myself as a historical source, but those were stories that a random neighbor told us when we sneaked into it. Just before there was a change of government in our country, the church burned down. Somebody put it on fire. I sneaked inside and what I saw was the floor filled with burned books. It's quite a shocking and mysterious thing to see as a 15-year-old child. You know, you never expect to enter the church and see the carpet of burned down library. It smelt of dust and smoke, and walls were all black. A huge iron chain was hanging from the ceiling. Actually, a lot of teenagers would sneak in and take pictures there at that time. And we were conspiring that this place looks like some sort of a torture place from horror movies. And I took one newspaper from all the burned down stuff on the floor. It was called Pravda, the truth. It's one of the propaganda newspapers from Soviet times. It was dated 1965. Later, when I finished the school, I went there again, but it was already closed, and somebody told me they started rehabilitation. After new government came, the rehabilitation stopped. And in my student years, I remember I started my first job. It was an internship in an NGO called CHF International Georgia. It was an American company that was rehabilitating orphanages and schools in regions. In the beginning, I was in the reception, and later I was transferred to procurement department as an assistant. I had to copy all the documents for the audit. It was all on paper and I had to put it into an Excel sheet and put a stamp on it and put it in a folder. The impression I got from going to this church was really strong, and I even imagined it being some sort of a portal to another world. The inspiration I took from it pushed me to write a short mystical story. And I was writing this book, but first of all, I thought I had to make some research. And when I was working in this company, one of the employees to whom I mentioned about me writing a book told me a number and an address of a historian who lived in Tbilisi who would tell me everything about this church. But then things changed. I left the company and I put the book away and I never really went to this historian. Later up, of course, I picked up the book again, but the church was left in my memory just as some sort of a mystical library that symbolized the portal to the underworld and subconscious. It's not strange because actually every place has its own energy. You know, when the church holding and standing from 16th century, it's obvious that it has a very rich aura. To imagine that also different dimensions would merge in this one place. I mean, after reconstruction, there are sources saying that Gregorians and Orthodox Christians, as well as Catholics, would come and pray together in one place, which is already unprecedented. In fact, Subnshan is an Armenian name of the church, and in old times they would call it the Saint Nikolaios Church. I was always attracted to this kind of Frankenstein spaces, be it a pub where you can eat chanahi and where Russian, American, German and Kuwaiti can drink together, listening to Kim Chen In's Korean version of I Want to Break Free. Ending with a church where there was a macaroni factory and a library. The reason why I was interested in this kind of spaces is because I could never find my place in a specific group or in a specific ideology. And I was always searching for the place like crossroads, you know, where the dialogue, the mixture, the mutation happened. A lot of times we do claim, and I did say, you know, one of the, and I did mention one of those theories in my previous podcast, that when a group where different types of ideologies are mixed, often becomes very aggressive. But in these places, I would find the harmonious mix of those things. I could see even people from different walks of lives and belief systems being able to have a conversation with each other. And that's what always was my motivation. You could probably say that the reason why I created this podcast as well. I wanted it to be a place of a dialogue where we could find solutions instead of fighting each other. However, in the past, this kind of ideas would be considered dangerous. People believed that there was a reason that Babylon Tower was crashed and people were divided into different languages and cultures and ideologies. If not for that, we wouldn't have this beautiful Georgian culture that held for centuries, and people would die in war to persist and preserve this culture. In every myth, we have the story of an outsider that comes in with new and different ideas and causes a flood that destroys the civilization. And for some people, it sounds really dangerous when you're trying to bring something new into a structured culture. It is indeed scary. But on the other hand, we all need those kind of spaces in order to keep peace. I think preserving the culture is a very important thing. It's not only for tourists to come and be amazed at it and to show off and be proud. It just shows the authenticity of the peoples that were living in this place for many, many years and built something amazing. And that's what old Europe stood on, right? But things have changed in the world. Europe itself also changed. Politics changed it. War started again, unexpectedly. So people tend to point fingers and say, well, we don't want this Europe anymore, and we will become Europeans ourselves, and we don't need anybody. But the problem is that our country is really small, and as a matter of fact, we do need somebody, and it's not Russia. A lot of people understand and realize that, but also they feel that the new radical movements is moving into Georgia and influencing the society. They feel danger of destroying this culture. However, I would confront this idea with another argument. Well, how many of us have been actually caring about our culture and making any steps to educate our children properly so they like their own culture and not hate it? So they feel that they can stay in the boundaries of culture, but still develop and build and bring something new in. Every culture became amazing because it had a space for development. It was building and building and building through centuries until somebody achieved mastery. But the process of development was halted, and it was signified by the period when Soviet Union took over Georgia. Some of the people know it, some of them want to hide from this realization, because during Soviet Union, a lot of people claim that the quality of life became better. And it's a proven fact that if the nation is poor, they don't have any motivation for development. They only care about the day-to-day life and survival. But another fact that is proven through history, coming already from Sumerian culture and their wisdom, that in authoritarian system development is also impossible. That's why every culture in every country, as an aim, had to have some sort of a balance between those. Prosperity and development, all together. That's the utopia that we strive. But is it possible to achieve any kind of development when government and people are against each other, when the poor get even poorer and the rich get even richer? That's probably the question that is most prevalent for me in the modern world. Thank you for your attention, and don't forget to follow, subscribe, and support.